Our next case this morning is number 023727, James M. Dixon against the City of New Richmond. Mr. Brave.
Good morning, Your Honors.
I take it you're not a police officer in this case.
No, sir, I am not. Good to see you again. Although this is a related case, and I'm sorry for that. May it please the court. Today we're here on the case of Officer James Dixon. Officer Dixon became a police officer with the City of New Richmond, Wisconsin in June of 1998. In 1999, he worked in excess of 600 paid hours. He worked fewer hours in the year 2000. In late November of 2000, some allegations began appearing against Mr. Dixon and others from the Somerset Police Department, totally unrelated to the New Richmond Police Department, in the New Richmond newspaper and on some television channels. Within the next 60 days, the chief of police got a phone call from the mayor, and the mayor said because of these allegations, Mr. Dixon should not be working, so the chief suspended Mr. Dixon. Mr. Dixon states that he was not notified of the suspension. There's no argument that the chief did have the two sergeants who were doing the scheduling remove Mr. Dixon from the roster of officers which they were using. Prior to his suspension, he had been called every month for shifts. That is in dispute. Mr. Dixon says he was called. The City of New Richmond says he was not called every month. The suspension did not include notice, an explanation of the charges, nor an opportunity to respond, nor an immediate post-deprivation remedy or hearing. The only hearing that did occur was over 2 years later in April. The charges were filed in late April 2002, and there was a hearing in May of 2002. The second thing that occurred was in the chief of police, Chief Levi, who'd been there for 25 years in New Richmond, retired in June of 2001. Sergeant Cody, one of the scheduling officers, took over as officer in charge until the new chief was brought on September 4th of 2001. The new chief that came on was Chief Samelstead. Chief Samelstead, between September 4th, 2001 and October 11th, 2001, we're not sure of the exact date, he and Sergeant Cody went to Officer Dixon's home and there said, please give me back your credentials from the Richmond Police Department. Also, it was known at that time that Chief Samelstead had issued new credentials to New Richmond officers under his authority, but yet Officer Dixon was not issued any. Chief Samelstead also told Officer Dixon that he was not to use his authority or his credentials in any way, and he was not going to be issued any shifts. The next thing that occurred was in February of 2002. Again, Officer Dixon contacted Chief Samelstead because Officer Dixon had heard there was a mandatory squad meeting. Chief Samelstead responded, there's no need for you to appear at that mandatory squad meeting. You cannot use any authority. You cannot use any, et cetera, your credentials in any way, etc. Next thing that occurred was on February 22nd, 2002. Officer Dixon filed the initial federal lawsuits, had it served on the defendants. And then on February 23rd, he did receive a letter from Chief Samelstead saying he was under investigation. The letter was, according to Chief Samelstead, written prior to the filing of the federal lawsuit. He wrote the letter on February 21st, 2002. Then later on, there were charges brought against Officer Dixon in late April 2002 relating to the Somerset incidents, not the New Richmond incidents. According to Chief Levi, Officer Dixon was a very good officer and was never disciplined, reprimanded, etc. in New Richmond, and there was a hearing where Officer Dixon did not appear later in May, and he was terminated for sure at that time in late May of 2002. The issues are, he was entitled to due process because he had a property interest in his employment per Wisconsin law. The issues are, was he given the correct due process that his original suspension by Chief Levi in either December or January of 2001. Secondly, did he get the appropriate due process when his powers were removed from him and he was further removed, suspended, demoted, however you want to phrase it, between September 4th and October 11th of 2002 by Chief Samelstead, and then again in February of 2002. Those are the issues. The other issue is that it was opined by defendants that it was brought up by the district court judge was parole versus Taylor. Even if Mr. Dixon had been suspended, parole versus Taylor would apply, and that would be a bar to Mr. Dixon receiving the process that he was due, and therefore he does not have a case because of parole versus Taylor as well. Obviously, we can, the appellants can test that, basically because the chiefs themselves had the power to suspend him if they had done it properly. They had the power to terminate him had they done it properly, and therefore Perot versus Taylor simply does not apply because it is not the type of case, the type of action that Perot was designed to cover. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brave.
Now we're back to Mr. Gilligan.
Mr. Gilligan.
May it please the court, I'm Thomas Gilligan. I represent defendants' appellants, and I can tell Judge Bauer that this is the last time you'll see Mr. Brave and I this week.
I checked the record, and that's correct.
There are two practical reasons why this court should affirm Judge Shabazz's summary judgment. And this is something that was alluded to earlier, and this is the type of case that demonstrates that no good deed goes unpunished.
The second one of those.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, with respect to that, reversal would discourage employers like the City of New Richmond in this case from trying to deal with things informally and trying to do something at the request of the employee that is in the employee's best interest. The City of New Richmond didn't have anything to gain by forbearing on addressing the disciplinary issue of whether or not it should take action because of something that Officer Dixon did in another jurisdiction. It didn't have anything to gain by waiting. It would have had everything to gain by just moving forward and doing it. But because a request was made by Officer Dixon's attorney not to do anything, to reserve judgment until the Somerset matter was concluded, that's exactly what the City of New Richmond and its police department did. The New Richmond Police Department would have been justified in moving forward immediately. And if they had done so, Officer Dixon would have had to fight parallel battles. It would have had, he would have had to have dealt with two investigations, two disciplinary hearings, two appeals. And because he was also a part-time officer for other law enforcement jurisdictions in western Wisconsin, conceivably that could have been even more than just the one that he was dealing. What we haven't heard Mr. Brave talk about, and which he really didn't deal with in his brief, is what was going on in Somerset. These were serious charges. They had to do with theft of evidence. They had to do with sale of guns. They had to do with a lot of things that impugn the integrity of a law enforcement officer. And this was all over the papers, and it was in the news media as well. As a matter of fact, Officer Dixon's attorney said that the media regarding this issue was unprecedented. And this is a little town in western Wisconsin. And so this was something that the New Richmond Police Department could have dealt with and would have been in their best interest to deal with. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that an employee like Officer Dixon can't light the candle and curse the glare. What he was doing here is he was urging his employer to wait and reserve making any judgment on this issue. And when the time ran out on his Somerset appeal, and it was very clear that he had nowhere else to go, then he turns around and sues New Richmond for forbearing on dealing with the disciplinary issues. He reaped the benefits because of what New Richmond did, and then turned it around on them and punished them because of what they did. And the last thing, and this is a related issue, is that he can't criticize his employer for not doing anything when he never, ever raised it as an issue. We've got a situation here where the events that we're dealing with occur in December of 2000 and January of 2001. The first time he makes any mention of suspension or anything like that is over a year later. There's nothing that his lawyer says, there's nothing that he says during that intervening period of time. He can't credibly complain when he refused to take advantage of due process that was available in the first place. With respect to Rule 56, it's Mr. Dixon's burden to demonstrate a genuine issue of material fact here, and he hasn't done so. We talk about reasonable inferences, and the inferences that he wants to make are not reasonable. Suspension and termination and demotion and all those types of things are penalties. They are disciplinary actions. Nothing like that was taken here. If you take a look at the testimony of Chief Levi, he says exactly what his intentions were. And what his intentions were are important because he's the only one that can testify about that. He indicates that he was doing this for the benefit of Mr. Dixon. And one of the reasons why he did that is because he received a letter in January of 2001 from Mr. Waterman, Mr. Dixon's attorney, who was also representing him in connection with the Somerset mess. He says that he wants him to reserve judgment until the matter is concluded. And there's also a conversation that Chief Levi has with Mr. Waterman immediately subsequent to that. Now, there's a dispute about whether or not Chief Levi and Officer Dixon actually had a conversation about the fact that he was not going to be receiving shifts during the pendency of the investigation and the appeal, et cetera, in the Somerset matter. That doesn't have to be addressed because the record is very clear, and this is undisputed, about what Chief Levi did in response to what Mr. Waterman, Mr. Dixon's lawyer, indicated. If Officer Dixon thought he was suspended, if he thought he had been terminated, if he thought he was facing any disciplinary action at all, you can rest assured that his lawyer would have let the New Richmond Police Department know immediately. That would have been something that he would have done immediately. And we never heard that. In fact, we received two letters from Mr. Waterman, Mr. Dixon's lawyer, one in January and one in October. Neither one. And both of these followed on some defining events, according to Mr. Dixon. Neither one referenced suspension, discipline, termination, demotion, anything like that. One of the things that I think is important here is that Mr. Brave is right. Officer Dixon didn't do anything wrong in New Richmond. Everything that could have been investigated was entirely dependent on what was going on in another jurisdiction. And so it did make sense, and Chief Samuelstead testified to this, that he wanted to wait until that matter played out before he did anything, because there wasn't anything that he had access to, because this was being entirely independently investigated. And he was inheriting something that Chief Levi had. So he waited. And he didn't get anything that would suggest that waiting was inappropriate from Mr. Dixon or from his attorney, Mr. Waterman. The other thing is that when Chief Samuelstead came to Officer Dixon, he didn't say, "Give me your credentials back." He was asking him to voluntarily resign. And again, this is a situation where it's not unconstitutional to request a resignation. What he was trying to do was, again, give Officer Dixon an out, where they wouldn't have to go through this whole process. There wouldn't have to be any investigation. There wouldn't have to be any black mark on his record. And Officer Dixon, tellingly, doesn't say no. He says, "I've got to talk to my attorney." And then the thing that happens after that is they get another letter from Mr. Waterman in October of 2001 that says, "You know, Jim really wants to work for you. He's available to work shifts. We've got the hearing coming up on the Somerset decision. It's going to take place here. We think that the charges are frivolous, and we think we're going to prevail." Doesn't say anything about suspension. Doesn't say anything about the fact that he's been requested not to use his credentials. And I guess that's another issue, is this allegation that there was some importance to Chief Samuelstead instructing Officer Dixon not to use credentials. If Officer Dixon wasn't working shifts, there wouldn't be any reason to use his credentials. And in addition, There was never any suggestion by Officer Dixon that he even wanted to use his credentials or that there was any benefit to using his credentials when he wasn't working for the department or working shifts with the department.
Well, if he got stopped for speeding someplace, the credentials might come in handy to a brother officer.
They might, but we don't have anything in the record to suggest that that happened in this case.
You know, he was working for some other departments part-time. I mean, he was working for three or four different places. Did he continue to work for the other one when the Somerset matter was pending?
I think that there was testimony about that from Mr. Dixon, and I believe that he did. But the thing about this situation was that he had his fingers in a lot of different things. He was working full-time for Somerset. Okay, so that was the full-time job.
Somerset's in St. Croix County.
Somerset is in St. Croix County.
Is New Richmond also?
New Richmond, I believe, is in Polk County. It's another, they're all in the same
neighboring county.
Neck of the woods. But I think that he was working probably about the same as he was in New Richmond. And so, for example, in the year 2000, he worked 122 hours. So it wasn't a whole lot of time in any of the other jurisdictions. He also had a nightclub that he ran in another town as well. So
he had a nightclub he ran as well?
What's that?
He had a nightclub he was running as well?
Yes.
Busy man. Busy man.
This is Wisconsin, Judge Bauer.
You have to work hard to make a living up there, I gather. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Why wasn't Officer Dixon suspended or terminated? And one of the things that I think is a little bit difficult to understand in this case is that this whole suspension, demotion, constructive discharge, termination has been a moving target since the beginning. If you take a look at Officer Dixon's testimony, he says he was suspended and constructively discharged back in February of 2001. If you take a look at Mr. Brave's brief on behalf of Mr. Dixon, there's a suggestion that he was suspended from January of 2001 to February 2002. And then there's a suggestion that he was suspended for a period of time up until October when he was told not to exercise law enforcement authority and then he was terminated. I'm really not exactly sure what the allegation is in the end. But why wasn't he disciplined? Why wasn't he suspended or terminated? First of all, there wasn't any disciplinary action. This wasn't meant to be punitive as to Officer Dixon. Second, New Richmond did is exactly what the lawyer for Officer Dixon urged him to do. And this was a situation where this lawyer wasn't just a personal injury lawyer who happened to advise him on some other things. He was the lawyer who was representing Officer Dixon in connection with the Somerset case. And so he had an intimate understanding, and this is established by the record, of what procedures went with Wisconsin Statute 6213 sub 5. All the rights and remedies that he had available to him were something that were at issue in the Somerset litigation. And the second thing is that this lawyer had an understanding of what appellate rights he would have as a result of any disciplinary action that was taken. In fact, he commenced a certiorari action based upon the Somerset decision and appealed it to the circuit court, contending that there were errors of law that were made in that proceeding. The New Richmond Police Department consistently maintained that Officer Dixon was employed by the department. We've submitted all kinds of documentary evidence that suggests that. We've got the rosters. We've got the schedules for the every single month during the year 2001. We've got the fact that Chief Samelstad worked Officer Dixon into his budget for 2002, which doesn't suggest that someone has been terminated or suspended. Everyone who has testified on behalf of New Richmond said he wasn't suspended and he wasn't disciplined. There was a reasonable belief by Chief Levi that this was an acceptable arrangement, and there isn't anything at issue with respect to that. When the process became available, after the appeal in the Somerset case had been exhausted, and now there was no other place for Officer Dixon to go. There was a final determination. Chief Samelstad said, I want you to come in and let's do this investigation. And it was set up, and it was set up for a date and time based upon a conversation, and this is established by the record, that Chief Samelstad has with Officer Dixon. And Officer Dixon, instead of coming in, files this lawsuit, refuses to participate in the investigation, and says to the New Richmond Police and Fire Commission that it cannot go forward with a case against him because he's already been terminated. So the very process that he was asking for, he refused to participate in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilligan. Mr. Brave has 10 minutes.
Unless there's a lot of questions, it won't take anywhere near that long. First, as far as the moving target, it's difficult to understand and comprehend or be specific about being suspended, demoted, terminated, etc. when someone is told, you're removed from the roster, you have no authority, you can't attend training, we're not going to issue new credentials, but you're not suspended. Yes, you've been called every month, and we're not going to call you anymore, but you're not suspended. You have absolutely no indices of authority or indices that you're an employee other than the fact that you're listed on our roster someplace, but you're not terminated, you're not removed. That's why the brief was written the way it is because if someone walks into a bank and hands them a note and says, I've got a bomb, give me your money, and walks out with the money, but says, I didn't rob the bank, of course, how do you know what happened and what didn't? So the moving target, yes, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. As far as Somerset, which one of your honors had the problem of listening to on Monday, Mr. Dixon had basically an unblemished record there until he was brought up on charges 4 days after he was assigned the investigation of the village president's son's sexual assault of a child. 4 days after that, charges were filed against him. The primary person behind most of those charges was the officer that was involved with the alleged cover-up of the sexual assault of the village president's son. The same night charges were brought up against Officer Dixon, which was 4 days after he was assigned this investigation, he's automatically suspended without pay and must return all of his belongings to the Somerset Police Department. That same night, this officer who was behind the cover-up of the sexual assault of the child of the village president's son becomes the highest-ranking officer in the department. As far as the police review board hearings against Mr. Dixon, first, the original charges against Mr. Dixon that appeared in the Richmond newspaper as well as on the TV was that Mr. Dixon, Chief Path, another part-time Somerset officer, and a couple of other people were allegedly skinny-dipping with underage females on the river and giving them alcohol. After all of this has been said and done, those charges were never supported. Come to find out, Chief Levi thought underage female meant child children under age 18. In fact, the two females in question, one of them was a 20-year-old niece of one of the people that was at that alleged underage, or at that skinny-dipping thing at night on the river. The second was a girlfriend of one of the males that were there. In the long run, finally, after all the hearings, it came out that Officer Dixon, Chief Papp, etc., had absolutely nothing to do with those allegations. The second set of allegations were very heinous, such as one of them was theft of alcohol. The only real evidence was presented at the Police Review Board hearing against him in 5 nights of hearings was one part-time officer who had been terminated by Somerset Police Department said he thought he saw Officer Dixon carrying a case of alcohol to his private vehicle. The second thing that was also presented was one officer who was full-time, who Officer Dixon was her field training officer, and she was terminated during her probation. She said that Officer Dixon told her, yes, you can take as much alcohol as you want as long as you do it at night. That is, from that, they said Officer Dixon had stolen alcohol from the police department. Another one was allegedly theft of time on time cards. The principal witness against Officer Dixon on that one was Officer Cappers, the same Somerset officer who was accused of covering up the sexual assault of the child by the village president's son. In other words, I don't want to go through the whole thing, but the point is, Chief Levi nor Chief Samelstad ever acquired the list of charges against Officer Dixon until after a year after Somerset filed it.
Would you think, however, that a chief of police might reasonably suspect that if somebody filed charges against one of his officers that remained unresolved, that he would temporarily at least keep him from acting as a police officer?
Two things there, Your Honor. First...
Well, how about try the first one? Do you think that...
Okay. The answer is, if they go through the process correctly, yes. In other words, had they followed the due process requirements...
When a charge is filed against a police officer before it's resolved, do you think it's appropriate for the police chief to let him go on carrying on his duties as an officer?
Based on these charges, had Chief
Lee... No. In the abstract, charges involving the moral turpitude or the... is functioning as a lawyer, as a police officer someplace else, are filed against police officers. Do you think it's appropriate for the chief to suspend them?
Absolutely, as long as the chief follows the due process.
Okay, so it's the answer is absolutely.
Yes. Could he
informally tell him, listen, I'm not going to do anything until you resolve the charges if he's asked. I'll hold off until you resolve the problem you've got someplace else. Is that inappropriate?
As long as he follows the due process mandated by law, absolutely it is not inappropriate.
Okay.
In other words, what I'm saying is,
the
yes...
The lawyer for the charged officer says, will you hold off on this and let us resolve it? And he says, and the chief says, okay.
In both instances, Officer Dixon was suspended by Chief Levi before that letter...
I'm doing an abstract question. I'm doing something I learned on this court.
Well, Mr. Waterman, the attorney that was representing Mr. Dixon at that time, says that that was not his intent. But that is how it was interpreted, according to Chief Levy.
Yeah, okay.
Both the January 11th letter and the rephrase, both the suspension by Chief Levi did occur prior to receipt of the letter by Mr. Waterman, and the actions by Chief Samuels...
Well, I understood this was highly publicized. It was in the local newspapers, on television, and that sort of thing.
The things that were originally publicized were the skinny dipping in November,
yeah,
and December.
Yeah.
The allegations brought forth by the Police Review Board in Somerset were not charged out until January 18th.
No, the incident was reported. It came to the attention of the authorities of the village.
The allegations of the skinny dipping, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
Yes. Okay. But the allegations of skinny dipping, Chief Levi did glean from the Richmond Police, Richmond newspaper, as well as the media. As I said, they never once acquired the actual charges by the Somerset PRB until over a year after it occurred. Secondly, they never did acquire the transcripts from the Police Review Board hearing ever, nor were they presented at the late May 2002 hearings in front of the Police and Fire Commission in Richmond. The whole issue is real simple. Was Officer Dixon provided the due process mandated by federal law? That's it. If he was, there's no case. If he wasn't, then there is. That simple. Thank you for your time.
We thank both Mr. Brave and Mr. Gilligan for their fine presentations. The case will be taken under advisement.